Good morning. There is a young gentleman among us this morning who thought that the biscuits that were on the table were for him, isn't that right? Well, let me explain that, will you? But let me tell you a wee story, first of all. When I was your age, and your age too, and your age as well, and your age, when we were up in Lewis in July and August, that's an island away in the north of Scotland, my mother would say, "Will you go and get some potatoes and some carrots and get a turnip?" And so I would go for a walk. Where would you think I would go to get all these things? Supermarket, yeah? Supermarket. Only, there was no supermarket in that part of Lewis. In fact, there was no supermarket in Lewis at all. And so what I did was I went for a walk up the croft, okay? That's a bit of land that each person had. And I would go by the cow, who would kind of look up and then away and chew back down. And I would go and I would pull up the potatoes, clean them off a wee bit, put them in the basin, and then go over to the carrots and pull up some of them, and then I would pull up a turnip too. So actually, everything that we ate at the table of vegetables, I knew where it came from. And I didn't know that it came from a supermarket. It came from the ground. It came from the ground. And you see, in a sense, in your lifetime and in our lifetime, big shops and supermarkets sell us things already packaged, and we don't really think about where they come from. And they come from the ground, and somebody has to plant them in the ground. Somebody has to care for them when they're in the ground, so that we eventually get what we eat. And so Harvest Thanksgiving is for us to be able to say thank you to God for all the good things that he gives us, but also to be thankful to the people who work to provide all these good things. People here in Scotland, people in Britain, and people in other parts of the world, because a lot of what we eat, likes of the rice that we eat and a lot of the vegetables we eat, come from other parts of the world, don't they? So there are people working on the ground all over the world who are supplying food for people like us in the UK and in other parts of the world to eat. So it's an opportunity for us to say thank you that there are people who work hard, and people who work on the land do have to work very hard to enable us to eat. And what would happen if we didn't eat? Right, we'd die, wouldn't we? We didn't have everything that we need. You would be sick, right? Well, yeah, you would be. If you didn't eat, you would be sick. That's right, yeah. So, it's Harvest Thanksgiving, and we've got a table full of different things there, and they're not for us to eat. We're not going to ask you to take a bag away with you, right, and for us to eat. They're for us to give to other people, and we're going to give what we've got on that table to people in Frontline Fife. That's people who don't have a lot of money, or they're maybe having to start up their home and they don't have a lot to eat, and so this is just going to give them a wee help from us, and other people will be doing the same thing. And the thing that's really important when we look at our own lives and what we have is that we learn to share. We learn to share. That was one of the things that God said was really, really important when we had our harvest, that we learn to share, particularly with those who are maybe at this point struggling and don't have a lot. So harvest is for us to say thank you to God, to the people who provide for all the things that we are able to eat, And for us to what? No. What do? We share. We share as well. I'm going to sing a hymn that I remember when we sung at school, and it's a beautiful hymn called God Who Made the Earth, the Air, the Sky, the Sea.
Good morning, everyone. Our first reading today is from Leviticus chapter 23, verses 10 to 16. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you enter the land I am giving you, and you harvest its first crops, bring the priest a bundle of grain from the first cutting of your grain harvest. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest will lift it up before the Lord, so it may be accepted on your behalf. On that same day, you must sacrifice a one-year-old male lamb with no defects as a burnt offering to the Lord. With it, you must present a grain offering consisting of 4 quarts of choice flour moistened with olive oil. It will be a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. You must also offer 1 quart of wine as a liquid offering. Do not eat any bread or roasting grain or fresh kernels on that day until you bring this offering to your God. This is a permanent law for you, and it must be observed from generation to generation wherever you live. The Festival of Harvest. From the day after the Sabbath, the day you bring the bundle of grain to be lifted up as a special offering, count off 7 full weeks. Keep counting until the day after the 7th Sabbath, 50 days later. Then present an offering of new grain to the Lord." Our next reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 19 to 21. When you are harvesting your crops and forget to bring in a bundle of grain from your field, don't go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigners, orphans, and widows. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all you do. When you beat the olives from your olive trees, don't go over the boughs twice. Leave the remaining olives for the foreigners, orphans, and widows. When you gather the grapes in your vineyard, don't glean the vines after they are picked. Leave the remaining grapes for the foreigners, orphans, and widows. Amen.
Not many years ago, and we will all remember this, on a shopping trip to the grocers, we would reveal a small assortment of locally grown produce, various fruits, root vegetables, leaf vegetables, a selection of apples, pears perhaps, bananas, oranges, and possibly some plums too, and the odd melon, maybe even a pineapple or a coconut. But those vegetables were done on a seasonal basis. What we got was very much seasonal. And we, as of our people of our own generation, knew where they came from and appreciated the fact that there were people who were responsible for growing them. And I think maybe like our own young people, if you asked them where their fruit and vegetables, where everything came from, they would say that Asda, Tesco, Aldi's, Lidl's, with little realization that they came from the land and they had to be produced by other people too. And so today we come to celebrate our harvest festival. We come today as the people of God to give thanks to God for his gracious provision to us. And that's important, so important that God said, this is something that is permanent. This is something that you should be doing all the time. And so from its Jewish roots, we have carried on as a Christian community to remember together and to celebrate together the harvest. But what I want us to do just for a few moments is to look at several issues around that original harvest and some of the issues that arise from what was just being read to us. I think the first thing you see is that there was to be an awareness by the people of God by offering part of the harvest to God that God had to be honored and thanked. There is where God lies at the heart of the Jewish faith and where it's no different for you and for me. And I think sometimes we have to see that sense of continuity that runs through from the Old Testament into the New Testament. I think we have to see with Jesus that Jesus was a Jewish man. And as a Jewish man, he honored those kind of festivals and did not say that they ceased of the new covenant. The new covenant does not replace everything in the old. And we are to be, as a people of God, celebrating some of those festivals that the Jewish, the Hebrew people celebrated in their own time. So God is placed at the heart of the festival, and offerings are made by the people of God in order that there is a recognition that the hand of God had been good to the people. But notice too that when the harvest was being taken, that the people were commanded, not encouraged, but commanded not to be greedy as the harvest was being taken in. For example, as the harvest was being taken in, there would have been ears of corn lying in the ground and wheat and other things. And they are told, don't go and get everything for yourself. Leave something for the farmer among you, for the widow. Share what you have. The same was said of the olive, and the same was said of the grape. These were the main things that were being harvested. Leave, share with those who most need it. And one of the things that you will see prescribed throughout the Old Testament is that widows and orphans in particular are to be cared for by the society of God's people. And the prophets, when they were speaking to the Jewish people, and where they were accusing sometimes the Jewish people of having departed from God's ways, highlighted the fact that the orphans and the widows were not being prescribed for, were not being helped. And so there is there at the very heart of the celebration of the harvest, not an invitation, but a commandment made to the people of God that part of what they have harvest given to them should always be shared with those who have little or nothing. With those who have little or nothing. Now that goes for us here today to share with our immediate and with our local community, people within that community who, for whatever reason, have found themselves in destitution or semi-destitution, for us to give something back of what God has given to us, whether it's in money terms or whether it's in those terms there. Give something back. But not just at harvest time, but that all the time to these things. And so, for instance, when it comes to the paying of our taxes, and we moan and complain about having to give so much in our taxes, we ought to stop and remember that we live in the kind of society, whether it's Labour or whether it's the Conservatives that are in government, where there is provision always made so that those who are poorest in our society will always have enough in order for them to be able to live well. And in so doing, in so giving our taxes, we are honouring God. And we should not be complaining about our taxes when we go to a service that is free to all, that goes to a social security service that is trying best to look after the oldest and to look after the poorest in society. It is an honourable thing to be able to give. And that's what God is saying to us through those verses that we read in Leviticus, but in particular in Deuteronomy. But notice too another group spoken about there. What is that group? The foreigner among you, the alien or the foreigner among you. You know, it is one of the most distressing things, I think, that has come out of recent events in our political history, that there is a group of people in our society, perhaps as much as 20% or more, who resent having foreigners in their midst. And they come up with all kinds of reasons why they have that resentment. And rather than seeing it as a privilege to open our arms to those who come from other cultures, it is seen in such negative terms. And yet here, in this passage, God is saying to us, not only should we open our arms, we should also open our purses as well. And we should be providing for those who've come into our midst from other cultures, and very cultures where they are being oppressed or where there is real poverty. But we're also encouraged too to share with the foreigner in the terms of making sure that where we see famine and where we see need, and where we see deprivation in other countries, and where it's possible for us to give something without it really, truly hurting us financially, where it's possible for us to give something that we open our hands and our arms and our hearts to give. Because there are none of us truly so poor that we would not notice or be in any way disadvantaged by giving more generously than we do to those who are in genuine need. And so the harvest itself teaches us a lesson. It teaches us a lesson about who is the ultimate provider and how we are to recognize him. It teaches a lesson about thankfulness. It teaches us a lesson providing for those who are the most disadvantaged within our society. And it teaches us a lesson about others in other countries whose needs are truly significant, where there is no harvest, and where they are by our responsibility as world citizens, as Christian people, recognize their need and responding to it with real and true generosity. And finally, let me just speak another harvest. This readings because it takes the New Testament and it takes us into the words of Jesus Christ. There is a harvest that we are required to contribute to by Jesus Christ, and it's the harvest of souls. And if you look at the church, you will very quickly see that the church of our Lord Jesus Christ has at the very heart and core of what Jesus responsibly gives to us as a church, the responsibility to reach out and evangelize our world with the message of the Christian gospel. And we're reminded of a harvest that Jesus spoke of when he said the harvest was great in terms of the size of those who live and the numbers of those who live in our world. And he encouraged us to pray to him in order that people with sufficient gifts and responsibility would be made available to the church in order that the church may a harvest of human souls whereby they might come to know and realize and understand the truth of the grace and the love and the mercy ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, as in the physical harvest, there is a responsibility placed upon the church to be active, in witness and outreach and a determination to pray for and to be involved in reaching out with the message of our Lord Jesus Christ to a society that so profoundly needs to hear the message. Christian gospel. I had a surprising conversation with my son the other day. We were watching the news, and in the news, he was just so downcast about what he was seeing and hearing, because it was just a litany of despair. People were treated in the world. And the question immediately arises, how can our world ever change until human hearts are changed? And we have here in St. Margaret's Church a powerful message that the world needs to hear in order that we might go into that harvest and bring back from it a people for a new generation who will keep the of the Christian gospel alive and well. Amen. May God bless to a few thoughts.